All right, I think we're ready to call to order. We do have quorum. It's 6:06. So let's get started. I'm sorry you guys missed the Helena Mafia Awards. We're going to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. There's no flag, so just look in your hearts. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. First up is public comment.
Hold on, we need to finish meeting. Maybe.
We can do that after the public comments. We'll give Joel a minute to show up. He's online, he's listening. Val, do we have any pre-prepared minutes, public comments? I don't think so. We did. Hold on. Wait, I'm scrolling. Somebody finds it before me, let me know. Val. Ah. Got an email from a parent, Heather Cloud. Our asynchronous day is going to be continuing indefinitely. While I do understand that they're available in an emergency type situation, why are we building them into the academic calendar? I do not believe that asynchronous days can honestly be considered instructional hours. I am lucky to be able to work from home on all the asynchronous days, but it does come with difficulties. I am also very aware that other families do not have this flexibility. My sister, for example, is a nurse with 12-hour shifts, and there are people who do not have good internet or younger children who need assistance. My son had work today and couldn't access it because the needed class code and other assignments that his school Chromebook wouldn't allow. All of these little things add up to create a lot of unnecessary frustration. Please consider using asynchronous learning in emergency situations only. I do not feel that there are educational benefits. Please show me the data to the contrary if you have it. That's Heather Cloud. Thank you. I don't see any raised hands in the Zoom session. So anyone from the audience? So you should stand up because the microphones are here, so we want to be able to hear you. It's okay if you have your back to the camera, that's fine. You have 3 minutes. We don't, it's public comments. It's not a dialogue. We don't respond to the comments, but please.
I'm a little rusty.
That's okay.
It's been a while.
So am I.
I didn't find myself.
That's fine.
That one's open. All right, there
Yeah.
we go. All right. So I said it's been quite a while since I made comments. I'm Katie Manley, OCSBA's president.
Go ahead.
You're good.
Okay. Last time, I did make comments with 2023 to share positive progress with contract negotiations, and I do want to start being a little more present in the public comment. I am speaking solely as a representative of our membership. And while many of these concerns I may bring tonight, may seem like an opinion, I believe they've been shared with me enough to prove that they must be publicly addressed. I feel like I've been trying to follow proper avenues. I have liaison meetings, I have meetings with senior leadership, and I still feel like there needs to be a little more focus on some of these concerns. First was the survey that was sent to us in January. People were happy to have an avenue to give some anonymous feedback, flawed or not. They felt safe. No matter what we say, people do fear when they're sharing feedback that's not always welcome. To have a voice was valuable and important, and it was recalled. So we are hoping that that information was shared with the entire board. Or that if another survey is not going to be sent out, that is shared with us. So OCSBA is for creating a survey that we will share with the admin team and the board. Campus-wide concerns have been brought to me with additional burdens being placed on on all of our teachers, such as operations walkthroughs and checklists that must be followed, and maybe corrective action that could be followed up as part of that. In the middle school, we particularly feel some burdens as we are housed in the same building as our senior leadership team. We do feel supported by our building administration. However, sometimes we feel criticized by the senior leadership team. We feel like we are being held to standards that aren't always being upheld on that end. We are expected to be restorative at all times with students, but we are not always given that same restorative practices back to us in that respect. The middle school has over 100 more students than any other building, yet we have the exact same leadership structure and the least amount of space. We have over 230 more students than the high school, with an 18-to-1 student staff ratio, while the high school has a 10-to-1 student staff ratio. It's almost double. Yet we have this almost the same amount of staff members, and we are struggling. Class sizes hover around 28. Behaviors are harder to manage, but we are often referred to as being miserable. It's becoming increasingly difficult to support the emotional behavioral needs of our students. Many members have inquired about the need for a full-time school resource officer, not a constable, a full-time SRO in our building every day. We do get additional support, and sometimes when additional support is hired, is the burden is placed on already exhausted existing staff members to train them, to help acclimate them to the school. Sometimes a second or third person is added to an already crowded office in the middle school. We are struggling. We have lack of space, lack of personnel. With the shortage in education, it will be detrimental and really unsustainable to the school to lose upwards of 20% of our staff. Many of us want to say we want to be a part of the solution. We are here because we care. I speak for hundreds of people that care, but we are tired. We want to be supported. We want to be treated as professionals. Support is not given directives. Support is not repeatedly pointing out what is wrong. Support is not placing the blame on us. Support is working together, creating positivity and pride, jumping in when it's necessary with no other motive besides jumping in to help, not to tell us later what was wrong, not to yell or to tell us what we need to fix. We know we want to work together. We want to partner. We really look forward to partnering with senior leadership and the board to come up with some solutions to help our very exhausted, hardworking, amazing staff. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have no idea if you went over 3 minutes. I just thought it was important enough to not even look at the clock. So thank you very much. Anyone else? All right. Minutes are next. And due to technical issues, we do not have a copy of the minutes to approve. We will get the draft minutes this evening. I'll make sure everybody gets a copy of them. Even if I gave them to you now, it's not really fair to expect anybody to read them. Although not normal, we'll, with everybody's approval, once we get the draft minutes, we'll post them as draft minutes, just so that we have the minutes posted, because it's important for everybody to be able to have clarity into what's going on and what we're doing, so if there aren't any questions. I'll also check and make sure the audio files are up as well, get us all in compliance by the end of the week. And a school report.
Okay, everybody, welcome. We have the head of school report. We're not going to unmute them and assume that that can catch
correct
signal. All right, so we have a few things to discuss specifically about the head of school report today. Updates on the turf fields, the process of installing the speaker system is happening right now, and the batting cages. We are still awaiting the fire marshal's clearance for the elevator, but the elevator project in the high school is done. Building 27, we had a second meeting of the renovation committee that occurred yesterday. And I believe there was even a walkthrough. I wasn't able to attend the walkthrough, but they did a walkthrough of the building as well, which was great. We discussed the general layout, the classroom orientation, mechanical plans for the first floor, a grant that we wrote so that we'll be able to get lighting, the huge discount for that particular building, and decorative ceiling options from decorative to functional in order for us to be as cost effective as we can in the process. We expect the full first floor plans to be ready by the end of the month, so that we'll be able to review them and utilize them with the second floor scheme so that we can have a general contractor bid out the job. The site prep part that we were talking about has been completed. So in that sense, it's moving along. That project's moving along pretty well. Still couldn't tell you if we're going to be able to open both floors by, August, but it's definitely a priority for us. It obviously helps to create a lot more space for all of our district and all of our different personnel, and allows the whole program to spread out properly. Our next goal is, now we're shifting to the testing season. So with testing season coming around, we've got specific SBAC and SAT goals that are going out throughout the testing season. Culture plans being created to create excitement around the testing season. And the school administrative teams are also reviewing the schedules, transitions, and current class numbers to make adjustments needed to support the student needs. So a lot of those things are happening. Also, there's several contingency plans for what next year would look like, depending on also how much of 27 is finished. And we'll report back on that once we have a little bit more information on, you know, what we're actually capable of doing. We have some very important recruiting events occurring. One's tomorrow. It's a 7th grade and 8th grade recruiting event. It's based on specific interests. The first set is recruiting 7th and 8th graders to our high school based on, you know, the AP programs and the other auxiliary programs that we have, and also for our student athletes. It's going to be a wonderful event for that. We're really excited to have some of these families, and it's going to be a highly attended event. There are, what, 60 families that are attending? Yeah, that's fantastic. 60 families, over 150 people coming to review that. So we're really excited about that. The goal of that, obviously, is to make sure that we are doing everything in our power to retain the students that we've invested so much into all of these years, and make sure that they understand all the offerings that we have at our schools, in the high school specifically. So the week after that, we have preview night coming up for our full school that we're showcasing for all prospective families. That's a very highly attended event. Over 2,000 people will show up for that. So we're really excited about that as well. And we'll be able to showcase a lot of our wonderful programming that we have. On the 13th, we have the Chill and Cheer Fest, which will be kind of our internal grand opening of the, I'm sorry, that's the 13th of March, where we will open up the fields, and then we have the grand opening of the field on April 9th. So keep those in mind as well. Good news on the applications we reported last time as well. Our overall applications are up, and kindergarten, 6th, and 9th grade applications are all up by at least 30% from last year, which is good news for our recruiting end. The letters, the first letters have been sent out, right, for that. So that's also very, very good. So, you know, over the last 2 years or so, we've made very concerted efforts in trying to make sure that we get that information out quickly. We continue to have touch points throughout the rest of the year to make sure that the families that do commit to us end up coming to us and understand what they're getting in terms of a high quality education here at us. We did have the more intentional heightened character traits and accomplishments, and some of the programs that's even being highlighted in the use of new programming like Dean's List, which is a kind of a way to capture the culture data for the schools. High school's already employed it. The middle school is going to employ it shortly. And with that comes the culture and the excellence awards and the competency awards that we have to celebrate student successes for semester one. We should have that list of those individuals to provide to the board in the next meeting. We're also looking at creating more positive culture programs within the school to target their experience, and we look forward to having some of that as well. Some of the events coming up, we'll speak to that. The Winter Filotimo Awards for staff, those will be announced in the next board meeting. So the nominees will come in this month. We'll announce our winter winners in the next board. In terms of the specific school updates, I'm going to let the principals do their school updates for me, unless they aren't here or not on call.
Lower school care, if you want to start. Yep.
All right, go ahead, Sula.
Hi everyone. I hope the award ceremony was great today. I'm sorry that I couldn't be there in person. I am going to start with our general updates. So first we'd like to welcome Vasilikia Khodakis to our second grade team. She is our new second grade teacher, and we welcome her. She just got started, and we're very excited to have her. The rest of the updates have to do with our pillar Ever to Excel. Hold on one second. We generally have culture and climate updates and academic updates. So Assistant Principal Calloway has been working with the MTSS Tier 1 team to improve our culture and climate. So we've reviewed LAERP feedback about school-wide expectations and protocols, and we're renorming and improving those for behavior expectations and celebrations of behavior. Principals are going to be doing a data dive with teachers at the end of this month as well. The Marking Period 2 Filotimo Awards will be held on 3/10, and parents will be invited by invitation to that. The academics will be also supported by Dr. Yaram. She is going to be working with overseeing the showcase for preview night for the with along with Kelly Mervine for K to 5. Here, use this baby. Go. Sorry. Okay, hold on one sec. And my apologies, guys. Give me just one sec. There we go. So we also have. Okay. So our math and reading interventionists have also been conducting data dives with teachers to create tier three intervention groups based on the middle of the year data. We're also diving into that middle of the year data with our instructional coach and the CIA team at PLCs this week. And we are also good. And that's to work with tier one and tier two students. So we're taking a really good look at our data, both on the culture and climate side and the academic side to make data driven decisions in the classroom and in terms of the school-wide procedures for behavior. We're also doing DTGSS observations where we're following up with teachers about the progress toward their academic goals and their professional goals that they set at the beginning of the year. And we're using data to look at those as well. And we're giving PD to at our next staff meeting about maximizing instructional time. So all of this based on the data that's rolling in and looking at the time that we have left, making sure that we leverage it to make sure students end the year really successful in all ways and that we can celebrate them at those Filotimo Awards. Our after-school activities, we have winter tennis rolling ending this week. It just ended today. We're also going to be bringing back the Science Club and the Crafty Owls by popular demand for a second spring cohort. We have soccer shots coming in the spring as well. The drama club will continue. Cooking club has actually ended. I need to update that. And the owl club before and after care is always available for those looking for extra things to do after school. We also have our upcoming events and some of them that you already know about. We had our Kindness Week dress down. We are doing presentations for Black History Month. Parent camp is on the 20th. International Mother Tongue Day on the 21st. And we have some great videos to share with you about student learning of foreign languages for those that we'll put on the Facebook page. Preview night, obviously, the 27th, Apokrya celebration on the 28th, and the student half day on the 28th. March, we have our conference dates, and we have the Lower School Philo Awards. That's all for me.
Thank you.
For intermediate school, many of the updates Dr. Dave shared are very similar to the intermediate school, and unique or different. We've got our positive behavior celebration coming up. Students who earn rewards, tickets and points through Dojo for showing the character traits of being an archer.
Hold that thought. Can you move to the front row so this microphones can get you? Thank you.
We've got an upcoming celebration for positive behavior and students showing PHILO, which is our character traits for students. We'll be this Friday, which will be a magic show. Gentleman Magic Bob is coming back for another year of magic. Kids always get excited about. We also have our awards coming up in March for PHILO. Our third grade students recently went on a field trip to Penn Cinemas. You see the Dogman movie, building excitement around literacy. Dogman book series is a graphic novel that kids at this age love and enjoyed seeing that. Similarly, our MTSS Tier 1 team met for the first time this past week. Ms. Hyman is the lead for intermediate school, and Mr. Cohen is supporting as Dean of Culture. And then similarly, we're doing academic interventions with Ms. Cycle. We'll talk this week. Except for intermediate.
Wonderful, thank you.
Mr. Pilon.
Good evening, everybody. I just realized that this is the first time I've spoken to at a board meeting. So for those board members who I haven't met yet. My name is Mike Petlock, and I'm the middle school principal. And that is my dog, who is very excited to be here as well. Without much further ado, I will get to the middle school updates. For Black History Month, middle school homerooms are running a door decorating contest, celebrating different people and events throughout American Black history. The decorating is going to begin next week. There's going to be a competition and prizes for the winning classrooms. The middle school culture team has met with representatives from Dean's List. Dean's List is the behavioral program that the high school is currently running, and we are going to launch in March. So we met with representatives from Dean's List to prepare for our March launch. This year's Middle School Science Olympiad team will send 45 students, which is actually two teams, to the competition on March 15th at Cab Calloway. They are selling T-shirts to support the team. If anyone is interested, you can contact Nick Manilinkis, who's the Science Olympiad head. Raquel Wynn's Middle School BPA team just did a great job at States. They're sending a group of kids, we think it's 12 or 13 kids, to Nationals in Orlando in May, and we had the largest delegation at the state meet. Middle school wrestling team. The middle school DIAA, for the first time this year, sponsored a state tournament for middle school female wrestlers. And Odyssey had two young ladies, Layla Cox and Myrta Kalampakis, who won their respective weight classes, went undefeated as they went through the tournament. Today was the middle school science fair competition. We had judging done by several different people, including Mr. Pappas. Winners will have their entry entered to the state competition. And finally, the boys basketball team played in and won the Capital Classic Middle School Tournament. They beat Sussex Academy yesterday 52-18 to win a trophy that is, I believe, is displayed in the lobby at this time.
Go Owls.
That is everything.
Thank you.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. So I have a few. I will fix it. I have a couple of updates for high school as well. So some upcoming. Sorry, hold on a second. So our upcoming events include our Black History Month celebration at the Grail. We have our senior class trip leaving this Friday. They are going to Camelback Mountain Resorts. We have a blood drive, which is available for families if they are interested. Thank you. And we have our next PBIS trip, which is to a bowling alley on 3-4. At the end of January, we recognized our second marking period Trident Award winners, of whom there were over 100 in total and 75 who won for their second marking period in a row. Trident winners are recognized for excellence in grades with either earning a high honor roll or honor roll, attendance with one or fewer unexcused absences, and excellent behavior with no referrals. On the academic side, we are excited to share that two of our students, Rajul Suvakumar and Jahi Thomas, both 12th grade students, were selected to the Newcastle County Honor Band. I apologize, guys. I will fix it in just a second. And they will perform in the concert in April. And then lastly, we have our event that Mr. Pappas talked about earlier tomorrow, which we are excited about. And we are also very excited to share with everyone on preview night. Apologize for the children and dogs in this house.
And one of the high school seniors just got his acceptance to the University of Delaware's World Language Program, World Scholar Program, and invited to his first semester in Athens.
Yeah, so we're really excited for him. We've had a number of really exciting college admissions this year. We've had students getting into all sorts of schools and already starting to do their acceptances, but we're also have a number of students who are waiting for some of those Ivies and other schools that take a little longer to get back to them.
Thank you.
Awesome. CIA updates. We have some teachers in grades 3 to 8 are receiving their walkthroughs related to their intervention lessons based on their results from the December implementation of the focused interim assessments in both ELA and math. We're also administering one more round of this in March. We hosted LAIRP at the end of January to visit with our building level culture teams and visit classrooms. The feedback was provided to the principals and will be shared with the culture teams in March. Juliana and Jackie are serving on the CharterCon planning committee for this year's CharterCon conference for all of the Delaware charter schools. It will take place on March 14th. Academic staff and principals have been provided a classroom walkthrough tool to help cultivate a positive learning environment. Walkthroughs will begin weekly by building administration to support the students in a successful classroom. All round one DCGSS observations have been completed, and the academic leadership team is currently completing the second round of DCGSS observations with the goal of completing all three by April 15th. The CIA team is conducting the second round of quarterly learning walks as well with the principal, assistant principal, and members from the CIA team. They visit 3 to 5 classrooms and collaboratively write the observations. And this collaborative approach helps align our feedback and procedures. From the assessment point of view, February Avant testing is happening for the world languages. And we also have, and you heard some of the other tests that are going on as well. Our middle school students in 6th and 7th will take the Avant in the Greek language for the first time this week. Social studies DESA testing for 4, 6, and 8, and access testing for multiple language learners in K-12 is happening in various sites throughout the school. A tentative spring testing schedule has been shared for the required state testing occurring in grades 3 to 12. Further communication to families will be distributed at a later time. Financial updates on the lead to Jeff. Transportation, we're working to finance 2 to 3 more buses for the upcoming school year. A new driver started with us yesterday and onboarding another driver as well. We're going to add redundancy to our department by hiring additional drivers once trained and credentialed. Student services, working diligently with teachers in the implementation of the best practices program for social and emotional learning and academic learning. Our K-12 special education coach, Jackie Servo, is continuing to work with the special educators and gen ed educators to optimize learning outcomes for the students with disabilities. Jackie has also been working with building leadership to develop professional learning to all staff in the area of de-escalation strategies. During an upcoming student services PLC, Jackie will be working with all teachers on how to support students with working memory and processing to support needs in the reading. The team continues to work through the new IC system, both in-house and the DOE as phase one of participants. We do hope, and that IC stands for Infinite Campus, and we were one of the, you know, the pilots, and obviously it's come with its growing pains. We do hope that our feedback will help to create a better system overall. It has been a bit of a challenge for our school to keep up with all of these things. The NCCT team on March 27th, the transition to adult life fair for students with disabilities will be held at Del Tech for us. And then Fiber, and I'm sorry, there's a few more student services updates. MLL learners, we talked about access testing that's happening right now in all the buildings. The team is also continuing to participate in the Delaware Department of Education Leadership Academy with focus on improving, you know, outcomes for student progress. And they're completing the first DDOE multiple language learner program evaluation for Odyssey, which will explicitly outline our program compliance with federal and state regulations. We can use that data to obviously improve our programming moving forward. Our MTSS program, the coaches from the CIA and student services departments continue to work collaboratively to support teachers on high quality tier one best practices. The school-based problem solving teams continue to meet regularly to engage in data analysis, goal development, and progress review in order to tailor the specific academic, social, emotional, and behavioral needs of students. The interventionists have completed middle of the mark benchmark assessments for ELA and math and have regrouped students based on that identified skill need for the upcoming spring intervention cycles. And the interventionists are also supporting teachers in the area of fidelity of intervention implementation and progress monitoring to measure students' growth trajectory. Efforts are underway to identify opportunities for improvement in the delivery of Tier 2 and Tier 3 supports to be rolled out in the 25-26 school year. our IT team, a fiber optic update. They're waiting for SCG to finish some of their conduit so that they would be able to finish their part of the program, which is to pull those cables through the light poles. The work is pending with the opening of the asphalt. It can't be done when it's so cold outside because of the expansion and retraction of the asphalt. They're also working on the audio system. It has been ordered and we're expecting delivery in March. So then we have from the HR lens, there is a staffing recruiting event that's happening on the 27th, the same day as the preview night. We have a recruiting fair, and I think Renee said there's already 30 candidates plus for recruiting for next year, which is great. Facilities projects. There is a new rotation for the building deep cleans that has started just now. So the deep cleans basically occur on a weekly basis and then taking out trash thereafter, but it also includes them doing ongoing progress. So building 23 has been completed now. The entire renovation of 23 has been completed. All the painting has been done, new logos and everything like that. And now the team has shifted their efforts to the middle school. The hallways have just been repainted in all of the middle schools. There is a new faculty lounge that has been put into place. Furniture has been ordered. A table was put in today with two new lounge chairs and upgrading that entire area to create a more welcoming space. For breaks, some classrooms have been painted already. Accent walls have been put on other ones. And there are more classrooms that are on the docket to be painted. The stairways are also being paid attention to because they're ripping up a little bit like that. And general upkeep of the entire facility. There was also a full safety walkthrough that was done to make sure that each classroom had the emergency buckets, correct emergency binders and rosters in there, in addition to drawing attention to like loose cords that were not tied properly, that we can get our teams, our facilities team and IT team in to make sure that those areas are clear of any sort of safety hazards. In addition to that, the clearance of the hallways has been occurring as well in all of the buildings in preparation for making sure that we can handle so many students going through the hallways every single day. In the middle school, I think the ping pong table was taken out today, finally. And there's an air hockey table that's being removed right now as well. That was sitting in the halls, clogging up spaces. In addition to various other things like PVC pipes and leftover Christmas decorations in the halls that have been removed to clear up those spaces as well. The widening project in the middle school has also been completed, which has been good. It's created more space for the kids to be able to walk through, which is a fantastic thing as well. And that will continue to happen as we continue to progress through these processes. Part of it has come as a result of our walkthroughs that we do now on a weekly basis. Jeff, Renee, and I go into all of the buildings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We rotate between them, and that's a drop-in session that we allow for teachers and staff to get their needs met, whether it's HR, whether it's business-related, or it's operational-related. And then I do walkthroughs with the principals during that time, looking for general trends and areas where we can provide more support, whether it's academically or operationally. We've been doing those for a couple of weeks now. They've been pretty good. They're somewhat attended, but there's definitely some people's needs that are being met during that time. From a safety and security lens, there has been a new door that's been replaced in 21. Finally, we got that door in that allows for that particular, there's some sort of positive pressure problem and they couldn't keep that door closed. So we replaced the whole system over there and should look, it should be a little bit better. Now the door that precedes it is got a problem with it, but it's not really supposed to be used as an exit, so we shouldn't be using it that much. There's some board approvals that need to be, that attention needs to be paid to. And there's a calendar update that's being proposed as well. Although the calendar committee hasn't started meeting yet for all of the different pieces, there is, what we're trying to do is get a start date approval for Tuesday, the 2nd of September for K 3, 6, 9, and 12, and then Wednesday, September the 3rd for the remaining grades. And obviously we'll build the schedule around that. But we kind of need this, that start date pretty soon so that we can start working towards all the goals for next year. There is a field trip to the National Museum of African American History in Washington, D.C. It's a high school field trip for the history department. That's on March 28th. And then on April 9th to 11th, the LEA Delaware in Washington, D.C. with Melissa Tracy. And then Stephanie DeMeo wants approval to be able to go to the Council for Exceptional Children, the premier association for special educators. And I think that's in Maryland, Baltimore on the 12th through the 15th. And that's it for now.
Couple of quick questions. on the fields project, have the lights been aimed?
Yes.
Okay.
They're very, very directional.
They do not look like they're aimed at all. I mean, just because of the way LED lights work. Was there a storage shed coming for storing the equipment for keeping the fields maintenance machine? Is that something that's coming down the line?
I think they're replacing the storage shed we had out there, and there's a pad on the side of the baseball softball field where that'll go and house anything for field maintenance for the
that tractor thing that redistribution of the pellets. Okay. On facilities, is there a project on the big picture for continuing to remove carpet and switch to the switch back to tiles?
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. It's obviously many thousands of dollars. So it's I know that Jeff has built it into next year's budget as well. As a continued process, and we hopefully can get it done.
Is that building by building, or is it high travel spots first, or locations of
most
need?
Right now, we're dealing with high travel spots first. So the first area that is under attention right now is the stairwell in the middle school. There's carpet on it. It's coming up a little bit in some mm-hmm. areas, and continually retaping it down doesn't seem to be the right solution. And we looked at these plastic bullnose options, but they won't be permanent enough. So they're looking at either resurfacing those or putting something over the specific stairwell first.
Okay.
And then it'll slowly take it from there.
I noticed there's a gigantic rental boiler on the side of one of the buildings. What's the story there?
I was going to talk about that.
Yeah, the boiler.
Oh, okay. It goes there. Okay. Yeah. Darn, it's never a cheap fix.
We'll see.
I have a couple questions too.
And my last question is mice. Where are we with the mice problem? Or the mouse problem?
Right. Yeah, I personally will move on. She's laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously the facilities people continue to work on addressing that, and they even brought in another company now, Orkin, who's like the best in the business, and gave us pretty much the exact same answer to what we're doing, and just be more diligent. So in our next steps, which is probably not going to be a very popular move, but it has to be done, and it's been recommended several times to us, microwaves and refrigerators must be removed from all classrooms. It cannot happen. It is a hotbed for it. It's been a problem. Every single person has recommended it to us. So part of the impetus for making sure that the teachers' lounges are really good and up to date is so that we can have those proper resources in there and centralize where the food is and take all the food out of other areas. Yeah, that's part of it. And then a part of it's going to be sealing off specific areas, making sure that we put, like, the glass doors, no matter what you do to them, they're going to be a natural entry point. So you have to put a special sealer on them. And then there's other areas where you go into the infrastructure where you have to seal things off. You need some foam and stuff like that. And that's what they're working on right now. Is there anything else that I mentioned about? There's also only certain things that you can do with people and kids in the building compared to when they're not. So we get a lot more aggressive when people are in the building. And try to sustain when people are in the building.
It's a shame we can't get cats, but
I was actually just thinking that. Is there a hypoallergenic breed of cat?
That would be great. It'd probably be more of a distraction than the cell phones.
Oh yeah.
Well, now I'm thinking actual owls, because they will go after mice. If the Philadelphia Eagles can have a bald eagle,
trained owls flying around the school.
All jokes aside, I hope we can get mice.
With the new cleaning schedule, what is supposed to be done daily if you're doing deep cleans in different buildings at different times? Like the trash is every day, is vacuuming and sweeping every day?
It's not. As far as my understanding is, it's not. So what we are working towards doing is what we used to do. Used to have as a protocol, and it's like some teachers still do it and we appreciate that, but some don't, is that when the facilities team has to do such a deep clean of a building and we're asking them to do all of these extra things in terms of upkeep of buildings, then the amount of time they have on task to get the other things done obviously goes down. And so what we'd like to happen in those situations, what we used to do in a lot of the classrooms, is that the chairs would be put up on the table. And some teachers do them, but a lot of a lot of teachers do not. And typically what used to happen is like kind of the end of the day, kind of quick sweep of the rooms. And so I did several audits of these classrooms over the last 2 weeks across the district. And in the areas that were not being deep cleaned, the condition of the classroom in terms of the general condition of the classroom with debris on the floor and stuff like that was relatively high. So, you know, one of the things that we're thinking about is making sure that each classroom has a dust can.
I was going to say the materials are needed. Yeah. Plus, there are classrooms that are being eaten in. Like, we eat lunch, all of kindergarten eats lunch in their classroom, all of K-2 eats snack in their classroom, and that's required. So, if we are required to have food, it's the microwave is not going to be the problem. It's the crumbs from, having a meal in there.
I totally understand. And you've still got some carpeted areas over there that need attention as well. We're going to final files.
So only the trash is being done every day?
From my understanding, it's trash and vacuuming. And
bathrooms.
And obviously the bathrooms.
So trash, vacuuming, and bathrooms.
Yes.
It's done daily.
Yeah. But I have had them come up to me and be like, Mr. Pappas, it's 9 o'clock. I'm not done yet. And I get it. Like I had three guys working on painting walls today. So that kind of upkeep is necessary.
Yeah, my other question was about, you mentioned under student services, MTSS. Is there an MTSS committee in every building? Because I know there is in lower school and intermediate school.
I know that you guys have them. We also...
Yes. Yeah, there is a MTSS committee in every building. Miss Boy, Sun Boy runs them. And they're made up of administrators, teachers, counselors in every building.
This is different than the SIT team?
This is different than the SIT team, yes.
Okay. So Sun runs the SIT and MTSS.
No, she doesn't run SIT. She runs MTSS, especially she's focused on those tier 2, tier 3 students for social emotional and for academic. The SIT team is run by their administrators in the building.
Okay. So the MTSS committees have teachers on them, as well as administrators?
I believe so, but I will double check, as with Sun today, but I will ask her tomorrow.
Because I know in my building it is that way. Like it's teachers that are then collaborating with administrators, but I don't know if that is the case across all buildings.
The system, I believe, is duplicated in each building. So they meet with the teachers the same way they do at the lower school, discuss the concerns, discuss what are some strategies that they can incorporate, support in collecting the data. So it is run the same way in each of the schools. It just has a little twist depending on the school.
Okay.
But I can definitely check with Sun, and I can get back to you with all that information.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Could you send us the membership of each of those teams?
Sure can. I will. I'll actually email Sun tonight, and I will get that to you.
Thank you.
My question is about the choice application. Did I read it correctly that we had over 1,000, and we haven't faced? Can we be more specific? What grades did we have those?
I think I said the increases were in kindergarten 6 and 9.
So after we admit whoever we're going to meet in kindergarten, are we going to have a waiting list still?
Usually we do, but I think our approach to enrollment this year is changing yet again. And we're going to be front loading a lot more invitations than back loading because we made an agreement that we wouldn't be inviting kids in September anymore. So after the first day of school, once we have how many kids are in the classrooms, this may not be the first day because you're doing 2 days of enrolling the school. But I would say by that, if it's Tuesday, Wednesday, by Thursday, we would be done with applications.
My point is a little different. I would recommend once again, we add more students in kindergarten, given all the challenges we heard about middle school, and we ease up a little bit in the middle school.
I can provide an update on that too.
Any other questions for the head of school? So I'm looking for a motion to approve the first day of school as the second for the initial classes and then the 3rd of September for the whole school. Did I get a motion?
Motion to approve first day of school, September 7th.
A second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
No, I have a quick question really quickly. When are we going to get the rest of the calendar?
I can speak to that. We start our meetings tomorrow, and we should be finishing by middle of next week, and then we will send over the draft to you to approve at the March board meeting, and I'll send that with a video like I've done in the past.
Thank you. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Hearing no opposed, motion carries unanimously. And then we need another motion for the out-of-state travel. I did not write them down. It wasn't that quick.
All of the Stephanie. Yeah.
I'll say it. Thank you. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. The Greek program report, please.
So I will start with Ilgamathia, just one word for Ilgamathia. We just celebrated our 37 remaining students who passed the exam for level A1 to C2. We had the 7 students before the board. We had, I don't remember exactly the date, the beginning of February, because of the first Wednesday of February, the monthly Greek program meeting. And although we changed the time to facilitate more families, so now we meet at 6 o'clock and not at 5 anymore, the attendance is low. So we discussed with the team, the group that we had of parents, to call these meetings once every quarter. And in the meantime, to call targeted meetings, specific groups or grade levels that they need more information about the program. Next is something that I informed the board during the weekend. And now I want to update you as well. So the Greek department organized last Saturday a language workshop in collaboration with two universities from Greece, the University of Athens and the University of Western Macedonia, to celebrate the National Greek Language Day. It was a training workshop for teachers, and three professors and I presented papers about how to integrate literature into the teaching of Greek as a second or foreign language. The event was extremely successful. We had 100 teachers in attendance for three continents. So we had South America, Europe, and Africa. It was really, really nice. And we will continue offering training sessions in collaboration with other institutions, paving the way of innovative teaching and effective learning. Also, this language workshop worked as our first recruiting event for the Greek department. We had 100 teachers in attendance, so it was a golden opportunity. The next item, tomorrow, the immersion program, Mr. Pappas talked about that, in collaboration with DOE, will start in middle school the state test for Greek language, the advanced test. This is our first time for the immersion and for any Greek language program in the country to take the advanced test. Tomorrow is the first day for a seventh grader, and Friday is going to be the first day for a sixth grader. So good luck, immersion students. Next, we continue our academic collaboration with the Peer School. The Peer is a private school in Athens, K-12, and they have also college, so it's K-16 actually. We work in two different levels with them. So this week, our second and fifth grade immersion students will exchange videos that represent themselves and their life at home and in school. And it's really wonderful to see this cross-cultural communication between students, schools, and countries. We have one more time. It's going to be in April for the last phase of this project for this year. And more exciting news, the last news for today, our students' exchange program starts next month. So 15 eighth grade students from the same school, the same school in Athens, will visit Odyssey from March 23rd to the end of the month. As a school, peers decided to stay in a hotel and not in foster families here, facilitate the student communication and transportation. So we're currently working with the team of peers on a schedule that has daily activities and events with our students here. So they will visit the school for 2-3 hours every day, and then they will go to Washington, New York, Philadelphia. They will come with us to celebrate the Greek International Day, the celebration that we hold every year. And it's the week also that we have the basketball game, the
Greek Heritage Night.
The Greek Heritage Night, thank you. So they will come with us, and they are super excited. I can tell you. And that's all from the Greek part.
Question. How much put together the state testing for Greek?
Sorry?
Greek? The state testing.
What you mean?
Yeah.
So they have a team. They didn't
their team.
Yes, exactly. They didn't tell me who is in the team because I was very curious about that. I asked them if there are professors from universities, and they told me yes. I asked them if they are bilingual, if they are native speakers, and they told me yes. So I don't know who are they, but apparently they have credentials.
Thank you very much. Monthly financial report. Jeff.
We are going to look at the monthly finance report for the period ending January 31st, 2025. Revenues collected to date are $55.8 million, or 96% of the preliminary budget. Revenues received during January. As we mentioned last month, we received all of our state funding at this point. So there's some interest on the local side, our normal variable income streams. We had a reimbursement from the capital fund for expenditures previously made for the turf field project, as well as some of the other transportation and other revenue. On the expense side, expenses to date are $32.3 million, which represents 63% of the budget. The FY25 final budget creation is in progress and is intended to be presented at the March OCS board meeting for approval. Majority of my personal resources have been spent on the capital projects and trying to meet where we would need to be at a strategic level. So I'm sort of circling back now to the operational budget and doing some analysis there. Taking a look under the hood for health insurance costs, substitute costs, and some of the maintenance items that are creeping toward the unfavorable side for the FY25 budget, but we're doing a detailed analysis now to kind of present with the final budget. As Eva mentioned, the preliminary planning for next school year has begun, as over 1,000 students have applied to the choice system. I think we've had 128 acceptances within the first week. Contact from OCS to all invited and accepted students has commenced, culminating with the February 27th preview day on campus. I want to thank everyone for their either attendance or participation with the gala and the raffle. We grossed 65,000 combined, which is a record amount of the last 3 years we've been doing this. That was a fun evening, and congratulations to the winners of all the raffles. Another congratulations to Melissa Tracy and her team on a $6,000 grant from Energize Delaware to add a STEM garden to the expanding food pantry. So basically have full, essentially, grocery store options going on inside that pantry that feeds, I think, over 100 families on a weekly basis. It's remarkable what they've done in that area over the last, only been 6 or 7 months. To date, 920,000 expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminary budgeted amount of 1.28 million. On the capital side, the turf field project update, as Elise mentioned, paving is kind of at a standstill until we can get to about, I think it's 3 consecutive days, averaging over 40 degrees for them to open plants. And ancillary equipment represents the last remaining items. The speakers on the campus have been ordered. On building number 27 update, the building clean out and preparation for construction is near complete. Sprinkler contractors have been solicited, and we've received 2 qualified bids. Mechanical engineers continue to work on the first floor design plans. Once completed at the end of February, will be coupled with the second floor schematics to solicit general contractors, and then from that point, subcontractors. The project committee has met on January 24th and February 18th to discuss the progress to date. And on the minor capital side, the building 22 intermediate school boiler has ceased its useful life. After a pretty solid 19 years. So we were able to utilize our service maintenance contractor, Services Unlimited, to procure a temporary option, which is what you see on the side of the building right now, that's pumping hot water, or making it able for the hot water to pump throughout the school, so there is heat. We appreciate everyone's patience while that was turned around. That temporary boiler came from Tennessee, I think, from another job site. And we are soliciting bids for a permanent replacement boiler, as that temporary setup is quite costly on a monthly basis, estimated at around $30,000 for that. However, we are also exploring our resources that we have gained through the Building 27 project with the lighting. It turns out that HVAC systems are also can qualify for subsidized costs with either DENREC or Energize Delaware, depending on the different specs. Now, granted, most of those programs are designed for residential-sized boiler and HVAC systems, which kind of a drop in the bucket for what we're looking at, but there actually are our consultants are putting together sort of a custom type of grant that DENREC allows, so that they may be able to couple the lights with this HVAC since it's technically a separate building. So fingers crossed that that comes to fruition, and we'll probably find out within the next week or so. So our understanding is the replacement of the permanent boiler should be about a 7 to 8 day process once we purchase one. And we know that 2 of the vendors that we've solicited have what we need in stock, so it's not like we're waiting a long time for shipping on those types of things. So, yeah, the funds of owning buildings.
Did you say that the boiler that was in the building was 19 years old?
Yeah.
Or just, it's been there since Odyssey's been here?
Pretty much. I think it was replaced just a little before.
Okay.
Odyssey, I think, it was 2014. I think this was an 06.
Okay.
So DuPont had, at some point, didn't upgrade in that building.
That upgrade was done by the lowest bidder, so you only get 19 years out of it. Are the roofs holding up?
Yes, the roofs are holding up. Yes. There's some leaks right now in building 27, which is the best place for it to happen at the moment, because all the, it's just a cement floor right now. But those are related to the rusted through HVAC units that'll be replaced as a part of that renovation project. So temporary issue until that takes place.
Any other questions? Need a motion to approve the monthly financial report.
I move we approve the financial report.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes unanimously. On to the committee reports. First up is turf field project, but I think you gave it all to us already.
Yeah, there's one item on that. We had circulated a legally reviewed rental agreement that we could start utilizing as sort of our time, our school's time on the field permits. I mentioned there's a couple tournaments that are interested in utilizing the facility. That will provide income to offset the operation and upkeep of the turf field project. I don't know if that's something we necessarily need specific approval on or more of just a line of sight for.
I don't think we do.
Okay. If there's any questions on that, I mean, I know you had a question that generally speaking, that all use of the turf field falls under the MOU with the neighboring neighborhood. So all that has to fall within the MOU that we've agreed to. So
and knowing you, you'll be hesitant to agree to any evening events.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll still need to let them know that we're going to have a tournament, but it won't be a light issue.
Right.
But we'll still be good neighbors.
But then open communication between our athletic director and I think the three leads.
Their contact points, yeah.
Yeah. In my understanding, it's been very positive relationship.
Outstanding. We should probably reach out to them and invite them to the open house on the 9th. For the field grand opening. Thank you. I don't think we have any other committee reports. Anything on the PTO? Anyone know? Okay. We'll have to talk at a future meeting about reviving the committees to get them either moving or off the list.
I can provide a CBOC update. We did postpone to next month, but we have solicited two new members as of today, a parent and a teacher. So the committee's growing.
That's wonderful.
Which is great.
It's incredibly important, but it's also not labor intensive. So
that's the beauty of it.
Joining is not a cumbersome process.
What committee is that?
The CBFC, the Citizen
Oversight Committee.
They'll go through the pre-card transaction and the budget prior to the meeting to make sure there's nothing hinky. But it's important to have happen every month. I think that's it on the committee reports, unless anybody has anything else.
For new vision.
Oddly enough, we'll just go to the school. You got something to go to the school?
For the good of the school.
Okay.
So we received from the Department of Education guidance resources and resources that were addressing the new immigration policies for the Delaware Public School. They have put together a very comprehensive website. I think we should send that out to the entire community along with a resolution from the school reaffirming our commitment to equal education, quality education, regardless citizenship status, regardless sexual orientation, consistent with what other districts have done. What I saw from other districts was written by the superintendent and supported or endorsed by the board, which that's what I suggest we do.
Is there anything that the resolution could speak to that our code of conduct and privacy policy doesn't already address? Is it?
Yeah, I believe the immigration component specifically does not get addressed like that. And in fact, in the state of Delaware, there was general confusion about how to operate in this category. This is why we were waiting for clarification from the Charter Division. And the attorneys that work with the Charter Division to create a policy that was consistent with state regulations accordingly. They ended up landing exactly where we landed when I was in California and dealing with this. And so that's why I sent that communication to you all to show you, well, here's what it is and here's where the Charter Committee landed. And if we're in agreement, I will put together an affirming letter or statement that basically helps our families understand that, you know, we don't share records because of FERPA and HIPAA anyway. And you'd have to have a specific warrant. It's listed on there. I don't remember the exact terminology, but we need a specific warrant from a specific judge with this in order to do that.
Judicial warrant.
Yeah, it's a specific judicial warrant. And then, but also making sure that our staff knows that it's very, very specific, because there was also a case, as maybe has been publicized, from the Chicago cases, where there was a misrepresentation that it was an ICE visit and it wasn't an ICE visit. And so we have to make sure that our staff understand what is what and when we have to respond to certain things, which is going to require us to put a training in place to make sure that everybody knows. So we would put an affirming statement specifically to address that need and how it actually falls under privacy rights anyway. So we wouldn't release that information, make sure that all of our staff understands that, and also reaffirm to staff that, well, we also are not going to interfere with the justice system when there is due cause or something, right? There's a criminal investigation. Our staff has to be able to distinguish between those.
I think it's also important that in the spirit of transparency and making sure that the Odyssey families are informed, like, these are the do's and don'ts. You know, this is what we're going to avoid happening. This is where we need to cooperate.
That would be listed in the law, right? In whatever documentation is needed.
I think there's some stuff in our code of conduct anyway, in terms of like privacy policy about not disclosing information without the judicial warrant that Eva had mentioned.
But I'll compose something and send it over to you all. No, not yet, but I'll have it to you next week.
Okay. Thank you.
I have something too. With all the changes and everything that's happening in the Department of Education, and I think as you just went to a conference there recently, what are the consequences for Odyssey School and our students here? Do we know anything regarding changes that will affect charter schools? Do we know anything for certain yet?
No, we don't know anything for certain yet, because the current status of the legislation as it stands right now through executive order would not impact the daily operation of the schools as they operate right now. What it does do is it pushes back to the states, departments of education, to put forward the regulations for the specific thing. So we have put pressure on our own Department of Education to be like, well, I understand what's happening at the federal level, but what are we doing about that over here? And what regulations are we going to follow over here? Because if it's getting pushed back to the state, then Delaware needs to be more proactive about making sure that we are protecting the needs of our students across the board. Currently, the impacts have, there was something that was going to try to impact future funding, specifically on opportunity funding, which is a federal granted program, but it was since retracted.
The two-some in federal funding that I saw on the income line item, do you think that is going to be changed or affected at all moving forward?
I couldn't anticipate and tell you for sure, but I would be concerned. I think what would end up happening, though, is it would end up, again, falling into the state's hands to deal with, at which point, I mean, I'm not a legislator, but I could probably tell you what that means for your taxes.
Do you think it's important you put some sort of communication out to families to reassure them that, you know, this is what we know to date. This is how we plan to handle it and moving forward.
Certainly can.
I'm sure that
that's why
I'm sure there's a lot of
families and everybody the letter.
We can add it to that letter. Current updates. And then add it to the letter. Happy to do that.
Beyond the immigration.
Yeah. And stuff. I can do it. It's not very clear, and I would run it through legal and through the charter network to make sure that I'm not declaring policies for the state on the state's behalf. Yeah, we can definitely do that. But at this time, there's no change to our operation. There has been no cutting of any funding whatsoever.
And I, I was at a director's meeting for special education, and they said as of right now, Part B is not being touched, which is what funds our schools for special education from federal through state.
And of course, there are legal challenges to a lot of those things, so we don't know.
Are most of these changes trickle down where the Department of Education would need to make a rule, and then the State Department of Education would need to make a change, and then it would affect us? We're not aware of anything that directly affects us, skipping those two layers.
No.
Okay.
No. Nothing at all.
Anything else?
Good question.
I understand that with the Delaware legislation being in, I'm sorry, yes, in session, it's been a long Wednesday, that there are some subcommittees between the state or local representatives and senators that are looking at education reform, education policy. We have some representatives in our back pocket that we could, could we reach out and just say, hey, where do we stand on this? What kinds of things are being talked about? Just to get a better understanding of what direction the state's heading in.
Yeah, we meet with them.
Good. Okay.
Some of our chief colleagues meet with them as well.
Excellent.
And we do have the ones, like you said, that are friends of Odyssey and,
yep,
and friends of what our mission is, who have made it clear that there will be steadfast in the support of our school.
I think Friends of Odyssey is the right way to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Representatives have actually been on our campus.
Yep. So. And like what we're doing.
What we're doing is great.
We're doing
Anything else really good at school? We do have to go into executive session. I don't think we'll have any resolutions out of the executive session. I'm not aware of anything. We got to handle a couple of HR things and one land thing. So I'd love a motion to go into executive session. Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. So I'll open up a room in the Zoom session. I'm not expecting anything to come back. If it will, it'll be a rubber stamp. You guys are welcome to stay. You're welcome to stay on the Zoom. We're not going to try to hide anything, but I think we're pretty much done for the evening, and it's 7:19, so not too bad. And we're back from executive session. We have no resolutions, nothing to approve, no motions, no nothing. Jamie, thanks for sticking with us, and everybody else. I would love a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
No opposed? Motion passed, meeting adjourned at 8:52. Good discussion. Thank you, guys. We will see you next month, if not sooner.